I just, I'll pray first. Father, we just thank you that, pray, Father, for a teachable spirit. And I pray, Father, that you would revive us. And, Father, that you would open up our eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we would see your truth in context and desire to live a way that you have called us to live, a holy and righteous life, and a life that is utterly dependent on you. Father, I just pray that we would be sensitive to your leading of your Holy Spirit this morning. I pray, Father, that as you are revealing things to us, Father, that what to surrender, what to lay down, Father, that we would do willingly. And Lord, help us today, have your way here today, in Jesus' name. So in Paul, in Romans, Paul's teaching us, we have freedom for a believer. Because in Romans 6:12, I'm going to read Romans 2:4 first. And so, do you despise the riches of his goodness? This is Romans 2:4. So, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God desires even believers to come to know and repent. Even before we were non-believers, repentance is crucial to our salvation. But as believers, it's crucial to be in the right relationship with the Lord, right standing with him. So we, as believers, we repent because we sin sometimes. More times we could probably count than a day. But he says, come to me, right? And confess your sins. And he would freely forgive those. To be in the right relationship with him, to be in right standing with him. And it talks about just how in Romans 6:12, I'm going to read, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So this is Romans 6:12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? Who's our master? And sometimes we think, I don't want to be a slave to anybody. But we've been bought and purchased. We're owned by Christ. So his ownership, he has ownership over us. And sometimes we have a tough time of surrendering, I think, sometimes. Because we want to do our own thing. And sometimes we don't recognize that God is actually, and should be, in control of our lives. So there's a little battle happening. So which one do you feed? Right? We like to feed the one that causes our old habits go to. Right? We feed the old man because that's something we lived in for so long prior to knowing Christ. Those who were raised as a believer, you know, they have a way better, it's easier for them because they didn't have to walk in the flesh all the time, all their lives, right? So, whether of sin leading to death, so sin leads to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that formed the doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? You know when you sin, it feels good at the moment. It feels like this feels the best thing ever. And what does it happen after you sin? You feel shame and guilt. And it's like, why? Why would I want to do that? Why do I continue to go down that avenue when I know I'm going to feel, well, in the beginning, you're like, eh, feels so good, but I just want to do it. Shows disobedience in our hearts, rebellion in our hearts. We think we know better than God. And the Holy Spirit who lives within you will prompt you to say, you know what? Don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't read that. And so then we quench the Holy Spirit. And so there's this battle. And Paul's like saying, God wants the best for you. He wants you to die to the old. Because God gives you life. To die daily to your fleshly desires. Have you ever noticed when you spend more time in the Word of God, what happens? I don't, for myself, it seems like I don't sin as often. When I'm more in the Word of God, more when I walk more in obedience to the Word of God, the less my desires is to fulfill my fleshly desires. And then when I get out of the Word of God and when I want to do my own thing, I just go right to it. So it's just creating a desire. You have to say, Lord, create in me a desire in my heart for you more and more all the time. Lord, I desire you more than anything else in this world. Because this world brings destruction. It brings death. You know, sin offers a false freedom that eventually takes away our true freedom. Sin brings temporal satisfaction. It brings death. It brings separation and bondage. You look at does God want his children to be in bondage? No. But yet we tend to want to go back to it. You think about the Israelites, God led them out of Egypt. Egypt was full of bondages. And yet on their travels, they should have been only, 10-day travel, less than 2-week travel. Turned out to be a 40-year travel because of disobedience, complaining, murmuring. Do we ever murmur and complain to God when he's trying to lead us out of our Egypt? Don't have to answer, right? What we do. God, I had it way better back then. Did you really? We desire things. That's the fallen nature. It's contrary to what the Word of God says and what God wants for us. So we desire things that are contrary at times. So that's why we have to die daily. God desires us to serve him, to be his noble instruments, So when you were slaves of sin, you were free to regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have then? You had no fruit. It was all death. It was destruction. Terrible behaviors, attitudes. We did things that were so... Sometimes we are still ashamed of the things that we did prior to knowing Christ. Maybe as a believer, you're ashamed even things that we have done even as a believer. But there is forgiveness. We go to the cross. We run to the cross and lay it all at the cross and say, Lord Jesus, take this from me. I don't want to live like this anymore. Is it from the heart when we go to the cross? Or is it just a thing of saying, oh, I read the scripture and it says I need to confess my sins? Is it a heart thing? Or is it a head thing when we ask for forgiveness? A heart change is really from the heart and say, Lord, I truly want to give this up. It is bringing so much destruction to my family, to my life, to everything that you want for me, which I'm going contrary to it. Lord, take this from me. Surrender it to them. How many things which you are now ashamed for the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, I like that. Having been, past tense, you've been set free from sin. So you should be up jumping around praising God because he has set you free from the power of sin. It no longer has dominion over you. So it's not your slave, it's not your master anymore. That's the good news of the gospel. We should be, it's like, Lord, I don't have to live in sin anymore. I don't have to live in and have shame anymore. I don't have to live like I have been defeated. You're more than a conqueror in Christ. He's the one who empowers you. And have been slaves now, and have become, having become slaves of God. This is who you are now. You have your fruit to holiness. In the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. You know, as a follower of Christ, you have been redeemed and you are justified. As though you have never sinned. It's amazing. Do I desire, this is a question for all of us, even for myself. Do I desire to live in the new nature? Or do I desire to live according to my rebellious flesh? That's the only question you can ask him. And God knows your heart. God's asking, do you want to continue to be rebellious, defiance, running away from what I have for you? Or do you want to be led and deceived by Satan? Deception comes in. If we want to, don't be led, don't be deceived by Satan. Don't be led of the desires that you have. But surrender them to the Lord. Do I desire in my heart to follow after the Lord Jesus? I think of in Revelation, it talks about the one church, the Laodicean church, where they grew, the heart were lukewarm. And I think about in the last days how sometimes we become lukewarm. And it's a very thing that I pray that we would desire to live a life that honors our Lord and Savior. Not to be lukewarm. Not to be comfortable where we're at. But desiring to step out in growth, to know his heart, to know who he is, to have a love and a passion for him, a deeper one. That's my prayer. It's like every day, it's like, Lord, I want to know more of you. I don't want this world. We'll turn to Hebrews 4, 12. So I put down a lot of script. I get Brian typed it all in. So Hebrews 4, if you ever want my notes, you could always ask for my notes. So Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. Your thoughts. It discerns your thoughts and intents of your heart. You know God really wants your heart? Because what flows from your heart? It flows out what's happening, yes. Right? What comes out of your heart is really where you're at spiritually. Where are you at spiritually? It's like, Lord, I'm not doing spiritually well right now. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God, his word, what happens is he opens this up. Heart surgery, opens us up, reveals everything, it's exposed. He sees everything. He knows everything. And it really penetrates us. When we allow his word to really take root in our lives, he reveals things that should be dealt with. Wrong attitudes, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Right? He exposes those things. And sometimes we don't like that. And sometimes we say, well, that's Satan. Well, God, you know, we have, I think we give Satan too much credit for things. God wants the best for you. He's going to do this open heart surgery. He's going to open up and reveal things in your life that need to be dealt with so that you could walk in obedience to his word. To live a life that honors him. To live a life that is holy and righteous before him. So that you can walk with freedom, not in bondage. So God does that. That's why the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts us of attitude. He convicts us of our thought process. And as believers, we have been given all things necessary for life and godliness. He's given us these things. Sometimes we choose not to take them. You know, the Word of God gets into every fiber of your life and it transforms you. It's not me trying to be good. It's not me trying to do this. It's not me saying, oh, I need to obey the rules. But I obey them because out of love and admiration and actually under surrendering to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life, saying, Kyle, you need to deal with this. Hopefully it makes sense. Right? Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. Don't try to hide it. you know, what happens, when the Word of God works in your life and you surrender to the leading and how God, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and His Word working in you, it affects us. His Word affects you. And it transforms you. And He shows us our ways are not His ways. He reveals that my thoughts are not always His thoughts. And His thoughts, you know, are greater than our thoughts. Because we sometimes overanalyze these things. And it's just like, Lord, I don't know what You're doing, but I'm going to surrender in this area. And then we learn the process of sanctification. This is what Romans 6, learning, should we continue to sin? No. Should we continue to grow in sanctification? Yes. Sanctification is an ongoing process. The Holy Spirit is working in you, changing your life, helping you to understand and to deal with things in our lives. You know, sanctification is going to continue until Christ appearing in the believer. When He appears and then we get caught up, that's when sanctification ends, because we become perfect. But until then, it's an ongoing process. Proverbs 4, 18 to 23. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. So Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. You know, that was one of my first scriptures I learned. And I just, yeah, it's amazing. Think about it. We become brighter and brighter as we allow sanctification to work in our lives. It's like a water glass. If I put whatever dirtiness in it, right? He's cleansing us. He cleanses us to make us clearer so that we radiate more the life of Christ to others. It's like less of me, more of Him being revealed in your body, His body. Your body is His temple. So the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Isn't that true? They don't know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Do we take hold of God's word with diligence? Do we take hold of it and apply it? For out of it springs the issues of life. There's refreshing when we are in the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, does it refresh us? Does this new life really get encouraged? When you start talking to people about the Lord, doesn't it bring refreshing? And it just, like, I love talking about my God, my Savior. I love talking about Him. How can you stop talking about all that He's done and is still doing and will do in your life? How can you not talk about Him? And I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5. Because it talked about in Romans 6, it talked about how we give an account to God. And maybe as believers, we don't think that we do give an account to God. And so 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. How does that scripture speak to you? If you're going to give an account to Christ, does that change maybe the attitude how we should live? It's kind of like I think about reverence for Him. Maybe sometimes, I know I, for my own life, I think sometimes I don't have the reverence for God as I ought to. This is a reminder that we will all appear. This is for the believers. There's another judgment seat for the unbeliever. But this is for the believers. That each one, so all of us here, will give an account. Very sobering. It's like how you live and what you do and what the Lord has called you to do. You will give an account. So no excuses. You can't blame anybody. You can't blame because of this or blame this or that. It's very sobering. It's you and the Lord. And it's like, wow, Lord, am I... And I'm not saying that we have to just run out and do it, but led of the Spirit. It's like, Lord, okay, I know I have blown it. Forgive me for not living the life that you have asked me to live. Forgive me for not being surrendered to you. Forgive me for not walking. Forgive me for walking in disobedience or rebelliousness. But Lord, I desire. This is a wake-up call. A wake-up call for all of us. It's like, am I living as the Lord has asked me to live? You know, God looks at the heart attitude. Why are you doing it? Are you living? Are you doing things for me because it may look good in front of everybody else? Am I just going to church because everybody else goes to church? Or my friends go to church? Do I do this because it looks good? Or is it really the heart of God's calling you to go and to worship Him and to be with other believers and to... It's the heart, right? There's an appearance. Sometimes we do things that appear really good, but in the heart, it's turmoil. I don't know if that makes sense. Right? It's the heart that He's... Am I doing out of love? Because my heart really compels me, desires me, and my love for Him. I'm doing this for Him, not for my own glory. I'm doing it for Him. And He sees that. I'm not trying to say that we need to live this perfect life, but it's an empowerment by the Holy Spirit and surrenderness to live this life. Lord, give me this desire to live for you. So why should we be discerned about the judgment seat of Christ? The focus on the return of the Lord Jesus is the one most practical doctrines for every believer. The Lord's appearing will be soon. It could be any day. It could be in any moment. And as if we have this different thought process of saying, I don't know what the day, the hour the Lord's going to return, but I desire to live as though he might return today. I want to be like that one, those virgins that would have the lampstands full, trimmed, ready. Because we don't know the day, the hour when he's going to come. And so do I, so when we have this thought process, right? And when we're more going into the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to transform us and to change us, that sin that we used to battle against, eventually is gone. Our attitudes, our behavior, everything is being changed. The things that you struggle with eventually will fade away. When we desire to grow deeper with the Lord. And so I have a few scriptures. So when we notice, so the practical character qualities, these are practical qualities, are produced when we focus on the Lord's appearing. So if I have a thought knowing that he's going to appear at any moment, that's to awaken, to bring awakening to the body. It should wake us up from our slumber. It should wake us saying that I'm not just going to just, you know, this morning I got up, Lord, I had to get up at 6 in the morning, go to the washroom. It's like, oh, I don't have to get up in another half hour. Right? And I was like, I don't want to, but so laziness can get in. As believers, we could get lazy. Because you could hear as, oh, the Lord's going to return you this date. The Lord's going to return here. And eventually everybody's like, well, I don't know when the Lord's going to return. Nobody knows. The Father does. But what does the Word of God say? Be ready. In and out of season. We don't know the day or the hour. And so if we're not ready and we live however we want, well, that's against the Word of God. We're supposed to be obedient to the Word of God, abiding in the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, desiring the things of the kingdom, not to fulfill the flesh, but to live a life that honors him. So, yeah, anyways. So we are... The qualities that are produced by focusing on the return of the or the appearing of Jesus Christ, patience. And we won't turn to any of these, but James 5, 7 to 8, 2 Thessalonians 3 to 5. Like I said, you can have my notes. Peace. Yeah, I can give you my notes. There's going to be a lot of scripture. No, not. I didn't give you all my scriptures. I got all these other ones. I only gave you like a third of them. Today, Ryan's like, are we just going to read the whole Bible? And I was like, well, you know, it could be. But anyways. But highlights. Okay. Brings patience. If I'm looking to the for Christ appearing, going to breed patience. If I'm continually looking for the Christ appearing, it brings peace. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. What produces also joy. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. The other quality it's going to produce is holiness. 1 Thessalonians 3, 13, 1 John 3, 1 to 3. I know there's a lot of scriptures. I should just hand out my notes. 1 John 3, 1 to 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, 13. Confidence, 1 John 2, 28 to 29. diligence. So that's the 2 Timothy 4. And I'm going to turn to that one because we'll read that one. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8. Yeah, we'll read that one. But I underlined verse 5 because I really like verse 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, whom will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. See, that's his appearing. He's appearing. That's when the church gets caught up. In his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word, verse 2. In season, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We see that today. We see a lot of people, a lot of professing believers do not like sound doctrine. And when a lot of error gets in, and it's like, what scripture is it? It talks about the fox in the vineyard. Right? You think of when foxes get into the vineyard, or the foxes get in the, in there, they bring destruction. They cause mayhem. So when people come in, right, there's people that come into bodies of believers that are not really truly believers. They have these false doctrines. They're dressed as though they're a sheep, but they're a wolf. It tries to divide the church. So we have to be careful of what doctrines. And that's why we get to know people and to share and break, right? Because maybe they've been deceived because of their teaching, their foundational teaching is wrong because of the pastor or the teachers or mentors they've had. Right? We need to be able to help them. Well, the Holy Spirit does. Some, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They just want to hear, and they take out the truth, they compromise the word of God. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. How many of us, as your walk as believers, heard so many fables? People have said, oh, this is what God revealed to me in this new life. Or God's shown me this with a script, something. They take it out of context and bring in a lot of other garbage. A lot of heresy. But in verse 5, but you, so that's all of us, but you be watchful in all things. It's like the guard on the wall. Be watchmen. Be watchful. Be like a Berean. Talk about testing what I say and to, what everybody says. Does it line up to the word of God? Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. We endure afflictions. Because there's a gospel out there saying that no Christian goes through troubles. Right? It's easy peasy when you become a believer. When you read here, endure afflictions, means you're going to endure afflictions. You will go through some suffering. You will face it. God prepares his children to go through afflictions. He helps us endure things. It's a process of sanctification at times. He allows it. Do the work of an evangelist. All of us are called to share the word of God. Fulfill your ministry. Finally, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the judge, righteous judge, will give me on that day. We get different crowns. We get different rewards as a believer. We were entrusted with God. Only gives you so much. We get tested. And when we're faithful in the little, he gives us more. When we become, right? He doesn't just... So that's diligence and service. Righteous living. That's Titus. When we're looking for the appearing of the Lord, it brings a desire for righteous living. Titus 2:11-14. Did I give that one? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing, and again, appearing. That's what we're focused to. The appearing of our Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, a zealous for good works. And then you think about faith in difficult times. We continue to look to the desires, our desire to look to the Lord produces faith to endure difficult times. 1 Peter 1:5-7. And so the rewards we receive on earth are all temporal and will perish. The rewards that we receive at the judgment seat are eternal and will never perish. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:17-5-4. By constantly focusing on the judgment seat of Christ, we naturally develop a desire to please God rather than man. We talked about how we have fear of man at times. If I'm always looking to the Lord and desiring, knowing he's coming back at any time, it changes who I more want to serve. And I will not fulfill being fearful of what man's going to think. But I know I will have to face, or I go to the judgment seat of Christ. I stand before him. Should not cause us to live differently. Causes reverence for God. A desire to live for him. Developing this attitude is the surest way we handle criticism and opposition. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. You are bought at a price. So do not become a slave to man. To put off this worldly thing. Do not be enticed by worldly things. But have a desire for the Lord God Almighty. When you want to live a godly life, when you desire to live a holy life, the real temptation will come to pull you away from what God wants and desires for your life. So how do we deal with temptation? There has to be a practical thing, because we know we have these desires to live for God, to serve him, But there's temptations that come. And so how do we overcome temptation? By the word of God. Submit to him. 1 Corinthians 12 to 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Sometimes we think, oh, I will never fall. You know, I remember sometimes when I said that, oh my goodness gracious. It's just like, whomp. Right? We all fall. We all are tempted. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Everybody gets tempted. Jesus battles Satan, and that's how the word of God, right? That's how you beat temptation, by the word of God. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, I'm so tempted. But what does the word of God says? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. There's always a way out. Do we choose the way out? Or we just go into it and say, well, it's a temporary pleasure. I'll just ask for forgiveness after. What's the worst thing could happen? Right? So we keep on sinning? Certainly not. Should we allow, we keep on sinning so grace may abound? As in Romans 6 talks about? Certainly not. So God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's amazing. We all have temptations. We all face things. And he gives us, God doesn't tempt his people. Right? You can't say God tempted you. No, he doesn't tempt you. It's what's in your flesh. Your flesh desires these things. You can't say Satan made me do this. No. Your flesh is revealing what's in your heart. You cannot give Satan, oh, Satan's tempting me with this. He can, but it actually reveals sometimes at what your heart is at. Because I want this. I think I need this. I deserve this. He tempts us by saying, did God really say this? Satan tempts you by doubting the word of God. That's how he tempts you. Did God really say that he will not give you, that you will not be able to be tempted beyond what you're able? He will try to twist the word of God. Devil tries to bring doubt in your mind. He tries to make you question the word of God. So he does. He's a deceiver and a liar. But this is the importance of knowing the word of God. And is also revealing what's in our hearts at times. So the biblical meaning of temptation is a trial in which man has a free choice of being faithful or unfaithful to God. Jesus was faced with temptation. He defeated Satan by the word of God. He defeated him by the word of God. Yeah, so temptation is intention, enticement of a person by some bait. We're tempted by some bait. some honey that's going to bring you desire, to bring you over, something that your eyes catch, and it's fulfilling something that's not been surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes it's pride that, you know, it's like, oh, I got, you're proudful. You're like, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall into that temptation. How did anybody fall into that temptation? Or how did anybody fall into that sin? Pride. We all face temptations. So never say that I will never fall for that, because my experience has, when I have said that, I've fallen into that. So it's self-gratifying. And so we disobey God's revealed word. But yet temptation also demonstrates that believers may have victory. It also reveals that we can have victory, both positionally in Christ and through his victory in our own lives. Temptation is not a sin. But if we allow that temptation to take root in our minds, to play, think about it more, eventually get into our hearts, then eventually it comes out. And we act upon it. And so then, that's why we have to take captive every thought that sets us up against the knowledge of Christ, and to make it obedient to the Word of God, so we don't float around. We are actively in this, actively taking, applying the Word of God, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to transform and to reveal things in our lives. Temptation dies when the steel teeth of a trap is unmasked. God reveals your temptations. You know what your temptations are. You know the kryptonite in your life. Superman. Thank you. We know our weaknesses. Sometimes we allow those weaknesses, we act upon it when we are spiritually down, when we're not walking with the Lord correctly, when we're bitter, resentful, we just give in to it, we throw up our hands and say, I'm done, I'm defeated. Temptation loses power when Jesus Christ satisfies our desires. So temptation loses its power when Christ satisfies our desires in our heart. Is the Lord satisfying your desires in your heart today? Because when I have found, when there's temptation, there's an emptiness in my life, that temptation is fulfilling, and I recognize that Christ is not in that area of my life. Colossians 3, 1 to 10, plus 3, 1 to 10. If then, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, it's appearing. It's amazing how God, Jesus appears. Then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which yourselves once walked. Past tense. We were once sons of disobedience. but now we're children of God. Once walked when you were lived in them, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Second Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone whose name, the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. It's that's in your heart. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone whose name of Christ depart from iniquity. Go to 2 Timothy 2, 21-21. 21-22. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the lather — that's what he was talking about, the lather, all the maliciousness, all the garbage — we cleanse ourselves, allow the Holy Spirit to take that from us, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee. Is it Joseph? He ran away from Potiphar's wife, who was trying to seduce him. Do we run away from sin? Maybe not fast enough. I think we drag. Keep our heads looking back. But let us pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So noble purposes, sanctified to be used by God. We have been called to live a holy life, to be set apart for the Lord Jesus. If I want to take hold of God's highest purposes in my life, I must pursue holiness. If I desire to be used by God, I should flee from evil desires and unrighteousness. That I will pursue purity, faith, love, obedience, and so in the company of others who desire to be walking in accountability. And 2 Peter, did I get that up there? So we're going to turn to 2 Peter. This is the last scripture. I know there's a lot of scriptures, but I pray that the Lord really, you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to meditate on what's been said and to apply it and to grow and be, your life would just become more, even my life, to really have this love and a passion for the Lord. Just allow him to work in your life, to be surrendered to him and to be in love with him. That's what a greatest thing to be, is in love. Those who, you know, newlyweds, you know, remember when you were a newlywed? You look at your spouse and your eyes and all the smiles and you get giddy and get all blush. Do I have this love for the Lord? I know, sorry, honey, it's been long. I get slapped when I look at my wife's side. I'm sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus.
Oh my goodness.
I can't even find 2 Peter. I know. I can't even find it now. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's hot up here. I found it. Oh my goodness. It's hot. Okay. 2 Peter 1. So 2 Peter 1, 4-9 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through its lusts, but also for this reason, giving all diligence add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, even more diligent to make your call, the election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's amazing. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that your word continues to penetrate and divide and reveal things in our own lives. And I pray that, Father, as we surrender to you afresh this morning, I pray, Father, that you would awaken us. Lord, that we have a love and a passion, desire to serve you, to love you. Lord, that we would fall in love with you all over again. Lord, where we've been drifting, where we're disobedient, Lord, we're rebellious in the areas of our lives, Lord, I pray that we would repent and confess those things. And to say, Lord, my desire is to follow you, to live for you. Lord, help us to take hold and as we come against the schemes of the enemy, Lord, even right now, I apply the blood of Christ over our mind. I pray that we would apply your blood over our minds that cleanse us from all lustful thoughts, and desires, and things that are contrary to your word. Father, we put on the helmet of salvation that protects our minds. And Lord, I pray that as we see things, you blind us from things that would normally captivate our heart, that we would turn our eyes away from it. Lord, that we would not be able to see those temptations. And Lord, as we desire and surrender to you, those temptations would slowly and fast, they would have to wash away, that we would not be tripped up by those anything any longer. Lord, let us be our eyes fixed on you, knowing that you will appear eventually. We don't know when, but Lord, we desire to be ready, be found doing what you have called us to do. So Lord, I pray for the protection. I pray, Father, if we hear a voice other than yours, Lord, if we are bombarded by Satan saying, is this true for you? You can say, yes, it is. The word of God says this. Lord, let us battle by the word of God. Let us be holding on to the truth of the word. Let your word penetrate our hearts. Let it be the firm foundation that we stand. In Jesus' name.